The big dance starts today in NCAA basketball, but farmers in the region are having to dance around some tough decisions about what to plant this spring. It's not the crop so much as the fertilizer. The big question continues to rattle around the metro. What would prompt a 21-year-old Fargo man to kill and dismember his girlfriend? A judge says a professional diagnosis is needed. And the big decision weighs on the State of Board of Higher Education in North Dakota. Who should be the next president of NDSU? Have you got a suggestion? Would be interested to hear what you think about that today at 701-271-1100. Yeah, we've all been kind of waiting and wondering. When is the list going to come out? Sounds like pretty soon. So we'll update you on that. Many other things going on here on this Thursday. For some reason, it feels more like a Friday to me than a Thursday in a big way. I think maybe it's because the basketball tournament starts today. And for me, that feels like maybe a weekend is here or coming soon. I'm not exactly sure. But wasn't it great yesterday? Talk about March Madness, the weather we've had. Was so great yesterday. A lot of fog here in the metro right now. Not a lot of wind going on and warm temps, a lot of moisture in the air. I guess these things can happen. Got a lot of ground to cover here on the program today. Plenty of time, though, to talk with you. I would love to hear from you today. 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. There are a few things that have been running around in my head over the last few days and prompted by some of the things in the news cycle this morning that I really would like to hear your comments on. I learn a lot from this audience, and hopefully I can pass along a few things that help you make better sense of your world, too. So together, we can have some really good conversations. I read a social media post last night that got me thinking about three levels further down on what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz. As we know, a big part of what's happening over in the Middle East with the war going on over there. And the person who put this post together is someone who's in agribusiness, and they were talking about how all this stuff about fertilizer is changing a lot of different things, what's happening here at home with the crops people are planting. Some crops need a lot more nitrogen than others, and that could in turn lead to a change in what happens with animal agriculture going on here in our region. So I've got a lot of stuff to sort through with you on that. If you are a farmer and you have been making some changes or making some late choices on what you're going to put in the ground this spring because of these things, I would love to hear from you today so that we can understand what it's like for farmers. I think a lot of times those of us townies don't understand what goes into making decisions for the farm, and that means a lot as far as, I mean, there's how many different dominoes that can fall on that. We've got, you know, what people feed their cattle. We've got what goes to the crush plant, what goes into ethanol-blended fuels, the sustainable jet fuel that they're now working on. A lot of things are impacted by what decisions farmers decide to make with their crops. And getting nitrogen is going to be a tough deal this year. If you can find it, it's going to be expensive. And I saw some things that it might be even hard to find this year. So talk about that if you've got some perspective there. I grew up on a farm, but honestly, I kind of checked out of agribusiness for a couple of decades when I was early in my professional career, and now I just love talking about this and learning a lot about it. So help us all get smarter today. Who should be the next president at NDSU? There are a lot of candidates who apparently have thrown their hat in the ring, although we don't have any verification on that. But the NDSU people tell us there's been strong interest, but we're not releasing the names quite yet. And you cannot do a Freedom of Information request on this because it's one of those things that's not covered there. So you can't make them tell you how or who all has gotten involved. But I'm curious, who would you like to see hold that job? Not what a lot of us think about, but maybe something that's worth a conversation here today. Story of the day, we could lose 200,000 truck drivers in this country. But not just any old truck drivers. This is a very interesting story to me for several different reasons. So we'll talk about that too here on the program today. Also on the show, boy, Fox News Channel continues to absolutely destroy every competitor that it might ever have in the way of cable news talk. And CNN is struggling to get any show at all that anybody will watch. Not sure if it's just a time of year kind of a thing or what, but this is crazy. Speaking of CNN, on CNN, they did a little deal the other day talking about the support that President Trump has among his base, the MAGA base for President Trump. Apparently, it's not just as strong as it's ever been, but it's stronger than it's ever been. And before we finish up, going to give you a little rundown. If you don't follow college basketball, but you want to cheer on the Bison today, taking on Michigan State in the NCAA tournament, I've got a little primer for you on some key pieces that you need to know. I'm going to give you a score prediction as well for this game. I don't know that NDSU is expected by anybody to win the game, and most don't even expect them to keep it close. Michigan State is a 16.5-point favorite. So, spoiler alert, I think the Bison will keep it closer than that. And I don't think it's just my fan heart speaking. So we'll do all that here coming up today on the show. Let's get started here with the Morning Wire. Semi-automatic storylines going rapid fire to give you a rundown of what is happening as we fire it up for a new edition of the Steve Hallstrom Show here on this Thursday, March 19th, 2026. And the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. We like to remind you of that as we get the show going here in the morning. All right, let's take a look at the Almanac as we get started today. Once again, we have another record high in Fargo today that came in 2012. It's going to be nice today, mid to maybe even upper 50s, but record high for today? Nowhere near where we're at now, 76 back in 2012. So let's recap. Fargo record high temperatures. On Monday, it was 76 back in 2012. On Tuesday, it was 76 back in 2012. Yesterday, it was 78 set back in 2012. And today, 76 back in 2012. I don't remember 2012, but we must all been golfing and going to the beach this week in 2012. I guess it's late March. These things can happen, but what a string. I don't remember that I can recall seeing a string of days like this where it was that warm. You might remember this. If you remember what it was like this week back in 2012, if you got recollections of this, we'd love to hear from you today. And my guess is if it was 76 here in Fargo, it was probably, you know, out in Beach, it might have been 90, 95. I mean, they get quite a bit warmer than we do here on some of their days. So if you remember this, we'd love to hear from you. Talked to a cattle rancher yesterday, actually traded texts, and I said, you know, wow, it's going to be warm this week. And she says, yeah, I wish all my cows would calve this week when it's nice out. So, yes, if you're ranching and delivering cattle and listen to the show this morning, I know a few of you do. Glad to have you with for the ride here. And a happy calving to you. March Madness has nothing to do with basketball out in ranch country. I will promise you that. We will gain 3 minutes and 22 seconds of daylight today. Isn't it glorious? Light out well past 8 o'clock here in Fargo. Last night was fantastic. Love it when we get these nice, warm spring days, and all of a sudden, you take a look, and gosh, it's 8:30, and there's still a glow in the sky. It's fantastic. Markets off to a slow start today. Everything pretty much down across the board. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 218, S&P 500 down 33, NASDAQ down 137. I think traders are saying there's just too much uncertainty. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with a lot of things. Oil prices, the war, demand for goods, inflation. There's just a lot of weird dynamics out there. So markets a little sluggish to get going here this morning. WTI crude oil up another $1.10 today at $98.94. So we kind of zigzagged a little bit yesterday, closed a little lower than where we were at when we were doing the show yesterday, because we were in the 98s there. Closed down a little bit, but now back up a little bit as well. The Brent price, by the way, over $110 a barrel right now. Gold down $263 an ounce at $4,633. Silver down $750 an ounce at $70.09. Well, you think Bitcoin flies around like a crazy man. Silver was above $100 an ounce not too long ago, and we're down 10% today, about $8, and $70.01. And Bitcoin, after making a nice little run into the mid-70s, is back under $70,000 a coin as well, down $1,600 today, $69,542. All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover here in the news cycle, but since we're having some extra detail to the morning wire today, let's take a short break. When we come back, Clyde in Twin Valley wants to also jump on the program. Phone lines are open. Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. ValleyChristian.co. Back with more after this. Emailer John says, Steve, I remember putting the dock in at the lake on St. Patrick's Day in 2012. What a glorious day it was. Well, I suppose it was 80 degrees every day, apparently, back in 2012. Yeah, record highs, four straight days, and we'll see what tomorrow holds. But it probably was pretty decent on this day back in 2012 on March 20th as well. Thank you, John. Yeah, I don't, for whatever reason, I don't remember that. It's a little far back. I'm pretty good at remembering weather stuff for about 5-6 years. Like, I remember our winters, you know, which winters were pretty good and which ones were nasty and like that. But I don't go back like when 15, 20 years and, oh, yeah, there was that one week we had whatever. I do remember that back in 2020, we were having my daughter's graduation open house, actually here at the building that we do business in. Yeah, it's just it's a perfect little spot for something like that. And it was 100 degrees and windier than heck. It was just like 40-mile-an-hour winds, but it's 103 degrees. So I don't know that we've been over 100 degrees since then. With all the talk of global warming, we hardly ever get to 100. We didn't even get to 90 last year. Isn't that something in Fargo? Did not hit 90 one time last summer. So we'll see. We almost hit 90 in 2012 on the week in March here. All right, I want to tell you that this hour of the program is brought to you in part by Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal. Well, warm weather of one kind or another is on the way. There's no doubt about that. And when that weather comes around, you're going to want to get access to that space, whether that's a spot of land you've got a lot of junk on there. Maybe it's a building you want to clean out and do something with. Maybe it's just a room that you want to redo in your house, and you just have so much junk in there. And you're like, you know, we could have a garage sale, I suppose, or whatever, but I just want to get rid of all that stuff. Maybe it's where grandma was, and now grandma's moved on to other things, and maybe she's not in the house anymore. Who knows? If you need help getting rid of a mess, Rowan Joe Junk Haul and Removal, rowanjojunk.com, rowanjojunk.com. My buddy John Minton, a 30-year combat vet, and when he tackles a job, I'm telling you what, the job gets done. It gets done fast, gets done right, and at a very fair price. Get that mess out of here. Give them a call. Doesn't cost anything to ask some questions. RowanJoeJunk.com. When it's got to go, call Rowan Joe. All right, before we get to day's headlines here, let's sneak in Clyde. He's been hanging on for a while. Clyde, good morning. What's going on, my man?
Morning, Steve. Great show as usual. I know of all your great donors out there that gave for Giving Hearts, but we're having a fundraiser tomorrow night at the St. William's Catholic Church in Twin Valley. We're trying to raise money for a new furnace.
Okay.
And a fish fry, the okay. Knights of Columbus fish fry. So from 5 to 7 tomorrow night, or if anybody wants to, you know, sure help us out and donate, we would appreciate any amount, a penny even. We'll take what we can get.
Okay, we got to get some heat in the church. We need that. Winter will be here again down the line, no doubt about that. So you got a fish fry going on at the Twin Valley where now?
It's going to be at the community center.
At the community center, okay. But it's for the Lutheran Church.
It's for the Catholic, St. William's Catholic Church.
Well, Catholic Church, okay, yep. Very good. We're doing a fish fry. Good Catholics on a Friday will be doing a fish fry there. And since many people will be abiding by the fish on Friday thing, go there and help raise some money for those guys. So you guys got a Facebook page or anything if people want to find out more about that one, Clyde?
I don't believe we
maybe
don't.
Not.
No,
okay.
We're too small.
All you need to know is the community center tomorrow night. And what time does it start?
5 to 7.
Okay, 5 to 7. Sounds good. Clyde, thanks for calling. All the best, you guys. Hope it goes great for you.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Take care. Bye. All right, headlines of the day. Let's get in the news of the day. WDAY Radio tells us the search for the next leader of the North Dakota State University is reaching the final stage. The search committee is expected to release the names of the three finalists for the NDSU presidency sometime over the next couple of days, potentially as early as tomorrow. Candidates were selected from a national pool and will visit the Fargo campus next week for public forums and final interviews with the State Board of Higher Education. A North Dakota district judge has officially ordered a series of mental health evaluations for Joshua Height, the 20-year-old Fargo man charged with the murder of Isadora Wengel. The defense team raised concerns regarding the suspect's competency to stand trial, leading to a temporary halt in the legal proceedings. The exams will determine if Height can understand the charges against him and assist in his own defense. The results are expected to be filed under seal within the next 45 days. Yeah, it's probably worth trying to figure out what's going on between those two ears. Valley News Live reports the high-profile trial of community activist Faith Dixon has been pushed back yet again following a court hearing on Tuesday. A judge has granted a delay after Dixon's latest defense attorney filed a motion to withdraw from the case, citing a, quote, irreparable breakdown in communication. What a shocker this one is. Third time that the trial now has been stalled due to counsel changes, leaving the court to scramble for a new start date later this summer. I don't want to pile on here with Ms. Dixon, but isn't it something when her name burst on the scene during the COVID thing and the George Floyd thing, how much credibility this woman got in this community from the city of Fargo, some of the major news sources? Oh, Faith Dixon says whatever. And she was just the loudest voice in the room many times. And just everybody seemed to be scared of her or nervous about going against her. And boy, what she said, people, we got to really. Now, this lady is a piece of work. My word, nobody can work with her. And we've got another attorney said, you know what? You go find someone else. I'm out. Good luck to you. North Dakota's primary residence tax credit program is facing a projected $21 million funding shortfall. The state's program got a surge in applications, causing projected demand to exceed current funding levels, reports Bismarck Tribune. Officials estimate that another $21 million is needed to meet the demand through the 2027 budget year. Running short on the dough. Valley News Live reports that emergency crews responded to an industrial accident at the Cargill corn milling facility near Wahpeton yesterday afternoon. Officials report a localized explosion occurred in a grain handling area, resulting in one employee being transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Cause is still under investigation by OSHA. Cargill officials say the plant remains operational, but certain areas are closed for safety assessments. As spring planting approaches, North Dakota farmers are sounding the alarm over the soaring costs of nitrogen and urea due to the conflict in Iran. We're going to talk about this more in just a little bit, but I wanted to sneak that in quick as a little teaser for us on this one. In the Minnesota State Legislature, Senate Republicans unveiled a new legislative package yesterday aimed at improving safety protocols in K-12 schools. The proposed bills would provide dedicated funding for school resource officers, which seems like common sense to everybody except Heather Keeler, I guess. Physical security upgrades like reinforced entryways and enhanced mental health screening tools for students. The bills apparently face a tough path in the DFL-controlled House, where debates continue over the presence of armed officers in school buildings. Yeah, why would we want that? And it's going to be a tough weekend to fly, says CBS News. More than 40% of TSA officers called out of work yesterday at a Houston airport. At New Orleans International, nearly 36% of TSA officers called out, and then 34% at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Calling out meaning calling in sick, basically. All right, story of the day coming up next. 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They have recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co. And I am coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less, and you're out the door with a brand new set of wheels. Story of the day today comes to us courtesy of the website Zero Hedge, zerohedge.com. Tyler Durden runs the site there. And always interesting stuff. Takes economic data points, but kind of breaks it down and makes things easy to understand, which this guy right here appreciates. And he cites a report that was put out not too long ago by the New Yorker magazine. They were, I guess, the first to start talking about all of this. But the story goes that the country, our nation, could potentially lose 200,000 truck drivers in the United States when their commercial driver's license expire. Now, these are not just any old truck drivers. These are immigrant truck drivers that could lose their CDLs because of a new rule backed by the Trump administration. And the author of the story says, by the way, can we take a minute just to stop and say, did anybody know we had 200,000 immigrant truck drivers in the United States? That's a lot of money, or that's a lot of people driving truck across the country there. These conversations have come up quite a bit recently because there have been some high-profile, basically criminal charges for truck drivers who were here illegally or some form of residency debate or confusion about kind of who they were and what they were driving and what their status was. But the policy that the Trump administration has put into place now would bar asylum seekers, refugees, and the DACA program participants from getting commercial driver's license. It's part of a wider crackdown on foreign truck drivers following some of those high-profile crashes I was talking about last summer. Experts are warning the change could further strain the trucking industry, which already faces labor shortages while handling the majority of the freight in the U.S. Trucks transport more than 70% of the country's cargo, but the sector struggles with long hours, relatively low pay, dangerous road conditions, and extended time away from home. As many American workers leave the field, immigrants have increasingly filled those roles. This is a dilemma. And this is nothing new. This is one of the things kind of like migrant farm workers. And the conversation, okay, if we crack down on this, if we get all the illegal people out of here, who's going to work the farm? Who's going to drive the truck? Who's going to do the manufacturing? And I think those are honest questions to ask. I believe that some of the concern is overplayed because everything is hijacked for a political reason these days. But I you know, hey, you take 200,000 CDL drivers off the road, and it's going to be a little longer to get your product to market. And, you know, supply demand, that means prices will go up. Maybe supplies are down. And this leads me to say something I've said many times. We do not appreciate our truck drivers, our commercial drivers, nearly as much as we need to. They keep products on the shelf. And while the answer is not just open borders and, you know, let's just look the other way on immigration, it's worth trying to figure out, as I've also said many times before, with farm workers, construction workers, I know it's difficult for people to get seasonal labor here. And a buddy of mine who owns a contracting company says every year, we've got to wait. Landscape companies, same thing. They rely on some of those workers that come up. And it seems like while we've been really eager to find a way, I'm tongue-in-cheek here, really eager to find a way to get as many illegals into the country, Joe Biden, there has not been as much emphasis placed, certainly, on some of the programs that can bring people here temporarily and do it legally, or maybe people that come here under some kind of a long-term program, whatever it might be. There's got to be a way to do both here. So to me, this is the story of the day. What happens if you take 200,000 truck drivers off the road? I know we got a number of guys driving the rig today that are listening to the show because I get the emails and text messages. If any of you guys are able to, while doing it safely, would love to hear from you at 271-1100 today. What would it mean? What would be the impact if we take 200,000 drivers off the road? And you can argue, well, it'd be maybe a little safer if you get people that, you know, in the groups that we're talking about, asylum seekers, refugees, and participants in the DACA program. I guess I don't know enough detail about the DACA program, but asylum seekers and refugees, I'd have some questions about, do they know the language? Can they understand how they pass their test? So I can have those conversations, too, at the same time as I say, man, that would make things tough. How do you get things around? And certainly where we are at on the south end of Fargo here, we're right by two truck stops. And, I mean, we see a ton of trucks here, probably just because of the location we're at. But you drive down I-94, I-29, how many big rigs are you seeing on the road? A lot. And you take 200,000 drivers off of there. That would be good. I got an email from a gentleman or a woman, I guess, yesterday. I'm not sure, named Jan. I guess it could be Jan, who was saying that I was run off the road by a guy who had a big head wrap on, and I could see it in the rear view mirror or side view mirror. I forget which mirror they said, and basically saying that I hate to be that guy or that woman, but it made me wonder, does this guy who's driving that truck, do they know how the language works? Did they get their license in a legal way? And said, I don't have anything against anybody in the color of their skin or what they're wearing on their head, but you wonder about these things when you hear stories. There was one that came around, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, in California, where they found out that one of these drivers who had killed somebody came through a California program where they didn't even look to see if you had a driver's license, and they didn't really test you. They just gave you a license, and it was shoddy or incomplete at best. The details are a little fuzzy to me as I think back on it, but I think it's only honest to ask questions. And when you have policies or politicians that look the other way or do some sort of fast track program to try to establish legitimacy for certain people, and some of it is probably related to folks who want to make sure that people can vote in the election. When you do all these things, you do open yourself up for some honest questions from people that are not being hateful toward the black or the brown skinned people or the people with a head wrap on, but they're just wondering, is this person here, what's their status, and do they really know what they're doing? It seems easy to those of us who don't do it to drive truck. It's keep it between the lines, but obviously it's way more difficult than that. There's a lot you got to know. You got to be able to understand the rules of the road. You got to know the language. And I would also say this, there are parts of the world where compliant mindset is not just part of the DNA. They grow up in places around the world where it's just chaos all the time, and there is no respect for law enforcement. There's no respect for authorities, no respect for rules. It's just every man for himself. And I guess if I grew up in a place like that, I might understand that too, and that might be the way I am. But over here, when you're driving truck, you've got to have a way to be able to, when you have a nation full of trucks on the roads, you got to have a way to make sure that we know that not only people can read the language, they understand what they're doing, they know what they're doing with the truck, but you also have to have people that understand that there's rules to this whole thing, and you got to have that. So if you're in the trucking profession, we'd love to hear from you today at 701-271-1100. Under the rule, people with various temporary residency permits will no longer qualify for commercial licenses, even if they're legally authorized to work in the U.S. transportation industry. Secretary Sean Duffy said the change is designed to prevent dangerous foreign drivers from exploiting the licensing system and contributing to road safety risks. Officials have also pointed several fatal accidents involving immigrant drivers and argue that that verifying their work histories can be difficult. But critics say the policy unfairly targets immigrants and relies on unproven claims that foreign drivers are responsible for more accidents than American ones. This goes back to something we talked about yesterday. They say, well, statistically, you don't have as much, whatever. But when you have a process that can allow for something irresponsible to happen, then you have to take a look at your process. And I'm glad that Secretary Duffy has done that and that we have a new rule coming on the books. But, hey, you pick up a stick, you pick up both ends, and that it might be a it might take longer for us to get our products. Might be a little tougher job getting things to market than it has been. Hey, I just want to let you know before we hit our next break here that the auction, the big auction, is underway right now on am1100theflag.com. You can bid today on the PXG Lightning Driver in zero torque. I wish it was zero trouble. Zero torque putter combo. And it's custom fit to your swing, so you get a custom fit to you, which is great. So you get this combo today. The value of it is $1,000, and bids are being made now, right now. Go to am1100theflag.com, am1100theflag.com. Make your bid online at the big deals page on our site, am1100theflag.com. All right, let's bring Paul into the conversation. Paul wants to talk about 200,000 truck driving jobs. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, as soon as you started talking about it, I got kind of busy, and so I got sidetracked. But did I hear you say that Trump just created 200,000 more truck driving jobs for Americans?
Well, that's one way to look at it. Yeah.
That is one way to look at it.
That is.
There's never been a shortage of truck drivers that I know of. I mean, there might be companies that had a hard time filling all their truck driving jobs, but there was never a shortage. And these illegals should not be allowed to be driving. They shouldn't even be allowed to be in this country, let alone driving on our roads with an 18-wheeler. So,
Paul, thanks for giving a call. I hear what you're saying. Thanks. We're up against the break, so I'll let you go. Let me finish this thought on the other side, because Paul touched on something I think is not talked about enough. We'll do that next. So Paul says on the Steve Alstrom Show, did I hear you right? Did President Trump just open up 200,000 jobs for Americans, American-born workers, or people living here already? I said, you're 100% right. That's exactly what he did, or what he's doing coming up soon here. If you have a comment on this, if you want to jump on and keep this conversation going from where Paul left off, 701-271-1100, that's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. And what I want to say about what Paul said is he's 100% right. Now, we have to be honest about the fact that there is a general shortage of labor in this country. That's a fact. That this is not anybody's imagination. But I have thought for some time, and I've said this to you on occasion on this program, I feel like we're overplaying that for political games, especially on the left. They'll say, well, we got to have illegals here. We don't have the people to do the work. I think part of that's true, but I don't think the answer is to completely turn our back on rules and regulations and just let anybody come into the country and give them a big truck to drive down the road. That's hardly the way to do it either. So, you know, two things can be true at the same time, I guess. We need the people, but maybe we're kind of overplaying what a horrible spot that we're going to be in. I know some people will tell you, there's enough Americans here with the labor force and people just are not participating. That's true. They need to have a wage that they are willing to accept to get in and do that job. And many industries, especially trucking, manufacturing, agriculture, they have built their business models on low-cost labor. And if those workers leave, employers are going to have to raise pay quite a bit to get domestic workers in here. Now, it's not wrong for this to happen. This should happen. It's a healthy thing to have happen. But it does lead to a pass the buck kind of a story. Are you willing to pay more for a head of lettuce or a gallon of milk to cover those costs? So there are ways to attack any problem. And I feel like you are sort of giving up on the American economy and the American worker and the American entrepreneur if you say, well, there's no way to solve this problem, so we're just going to have to, you know, turn our back on law and order. Well, that's irresponsible to people who work in this country, who run the businesses in this country, because they're really good at what they do. Training, automation, higher wages, all of those things can help you get enough people in to fill any job. It's supply demand, right? You got enough people. And if people got paid $1,000 an hour to drive a truck, I promise you there'd be more people driving truck. But then you're gallon of milk is going to be $20. So there's a temptation here just to say, well, let's relax the rules because we need people. But I've always felt like this is something people say, and I wish I could see a parallel society where they did what they're doing here and what that looks like. Because, yeah, it's going to be harder to find the people. Will there be freight that sits for a little bit longer? Yeah, but maybe all of that that we worry about isn't going to be such a problem or as big of a problem as we think. But I guess we're going to find out, aren't we? John in West Fargo, he's on the road for a living. He wants to weigh in this one. Hey, John.
Morning, Steve. You know, the problem really starts, too, with giving undocumented people just a plain old driver's license. I mean, if you can't read, you can't speak English, how do you know how to do read road signs? How do you do anything? And let alone running down the road with an 80,000-pound truck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm out here every day. I see people going down, you know, in trucks, going down the road, watching movies in the middle of the night. I mean, it's just crazy. Part of the problem comes back to also training. Some of the schools have been closed because they've been kind of been sham schools, just pushing people through, getting them a CDL and not really training them.
Yeah.
Companies as well, not providing proper training. You know, it just comes down. I mean, I'm a little bit old school, but you just don't jump into a truck and head off down the road.
Well, John, it's funny how old school has become a little more fashionable again. All of these ideas that have come up from people saying, hey, you know what's worked in this country for 250 years? Let's just throw it away and try another theory here on anything and everything. And then all of a sudden people are coming back to, gosh, you know, maybe we should watch what we eat, and maybe we don't need all these food dyes in there, and maybe, you know, having elections in person might make some sense here again. And all these things that used to seem like the old-fashioned ideas that seemed not as sophisticated now are making a whole lot of sense. I think you're talking about another one there. John, you're 100% right, and we got to remember that, I mean, you've got, like you say, you've got tons on wheels flying down the road at 60, 65, 70 miles an hour, and we've got to make sure that the right things are being done there so that we keep our roadways safe. I appreciate you, John. Thank you for giving – yeah.
Steve, you know, it's not just the driving of the truck as well. I mean, you know, it's proper doing a proper pre-trip, making sure your tires aren't going to come off and kill somebody, making sure your load is secured in the trailer or if you're driving a flatbed.
Yep.
I mean, there's more to it than just driving down the highway, too.
Yeah, 100% right. John, thanks. You bring some much needed perspective from somebody who's in the biz. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Thanks so much. All right. What do you have to say about this? What do you think about when this story comes up? What starts going through your mind? 701-271-1100. We got the key three coming up next here on the Steve Halsham Show. Three stories that you want to make sure that you know about. We do that as we roll into hour number two when we come back. Emailer Jim says, Steve, when does all this take effect with 200,000 people losing their commercial licenses? So, yeah, sorry if I didn't make that clear enough. It's not that all of these licenses are going to be ruled invalid at any one time and it all hits. It will be phased in over time. The rule went into effect on Monday, and the rule says that these immigrant truckers are going to lose their licenses as they expire. So it's not like immediately. And the scope of this is really just to make sure that we have, again, people that can understand the language, that are compliant with the rules, that you know how things work here in our country, that they are the ones that are doing the driving for the country. This is about 5% of the workforce in trucking. So you might think, oh, that's, you know, 200,000, we'll lose them all. Well, it's not as many as I would have thought, but this is going to be, as these licenses expire, they're not going to be renewed. So that's how they hope to take care of that. Thank you for emailing that question. Sorry if I had not mentioned that earlier. This hour of the Steve Halsham Show is brought to you in part by Matt Schultz and the team at Midwest Wealth. You might, getting choked up here. You might see Matt cheering at a high school game or on the golf course lining up a putt with his kids. Matt Schultz isn't just one of the leading minds in the Bakken, he's your neighbor. And he knows that behind every investment is a family and a dream. And that's why he takes a personal, all things considered approach to financial planning. It's not just what you're putting in your 401k plan or your IRA. It's everything that goes into the financial success of your family long term. And Matt will give you that practical advice that you can trust. Get a financial plan as solid as the North Dakota ground we walk on. Call Matt Schultz at Midwest Wealth today in Watford City. Straightforward planning from a name you know, one of the best regional experts we have. You can go to RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth, RaymondJames.com/MidwestWealth. All right, it's time for the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. A lot of good nominations for this one today, but I have landed on these three. I cannot help but start with the war in Iran. It's, I think over here we just kind of do our thing. Today we're going to watch basketball, eat chicken wings, and we got to remember our men and women overseas. And so that's story number one. Pete Hegseth says the largest strike package yet is coming today in the war in Iran. Hegseth made the comments this morning after Israel struck an Iranian gas field and Iran retaliated across the region. Hegseth says the U.S. has now struck more than 7,000 targets across Iran, including to its military infrastructure. Hegseth says today will be the largest strike package yet. Yesterday was the same thing, so they're ramping up the munitions. The Washington Post is reporting that the Pentagon is asking for an additional $200 billion for the war. Hegseth did not directly confirm that number, but said, quote, "It takes money to kill bad guys. We're going back to Congress and our folks there to ensure that we're properly funded for what's been done and what we have to do in the future." Amid Iran's missile launches across the Gulf, Joint Chiefs Chairman Dan Kane said that Iran came into this fight with a lot of weapons, but the U.S. has developed layered defenses throughout the region. Yeah, we've been pounding them pretty good. And it seems like there's still a pretty good resistance. Again, these are people that are going to fight to the death. They don't know any other way. And for them to die in these battles is a victory. They'll come back in the next life with all kinds of benefits. So that's story number one. Story number two is Wall Street Journal has come out with an overall summary of some really interesting numbers here in the war on crime in the United States. And based on the reporting that Wall Street Journal has done and data that it is citing from the Council on Criminal Justice, there is a lot to be thankful about when it comes to crime in our country. Certainly still it feels like there's a lot, but the murder rate plummeted by more than 20% last year. That's been reported already. The single largest one-year percentage drop ever recorded in American history in the first year of Donald Trump's presidency. Second big finding in the report here is that the homicide rate would not only be a 65-year low, but could be the lowest murder rate recorded in the U.S. since 1900. Third takeaway here, and again, I think I've heard that one there too, but some of these other notes I've not heard. Broad declines across all major categories. Carjackings declined by 61% since 2023. Motor vehicle theft down 27%. Robberies 23%. Residential burglaries 17%. Shoplifting down 10%. What do we make of this? I don't know that I can explain it. I can explain part of it by saying if you have a president in office who says, we're going to reestablish law and order, and you're going to jail if you do things that are wrong, and we've got to, you know, go head on with some of these large blue states and blue cities that just have horrific sentencing or lack thereof regulations, and the president's adopted a strong tone with that. But I don't know that that can account for everything here. But look, like I say all the time, if the football team goes undefeated, the head coach gets credit. So the head coach gets credit here on this one. There are other factors other than Donald Trump as our president that Wall Street Journal talks about. They say that there is a normalization post-pandemic, and the fever of social instability back from COVID-19 is finally breaking. I think that plays a part in it. Things seem like while we have more addiction and mental illness out there, or at least we have a continuing problem with that, it does feel like we're kind of getting back to before when COVID hit and the George Floyd thing happened kind of at the same time. It was just a mess that year of 2020. I do feel like the world is settling, at least our country is settling down a little bit. Federal funding could also be a reason, says Wall Street Journal. Significant investment from the American Rescue Plan Act, which funded the hiring of local government employees, counselors, and clinicians. That was a Biden-era policy. Okay, I guess I'll consider that. Doesn't feel like hiring more government employees is going to reduce crime. We've been doing that for a long time. Counselors and clinic workers, I don't know. That seems thin to me, but that's what they say. Professional policing, better data-driven strategies and a return to proactive policing after the disruptions of 2020. I think that's in there, too. We don't have enough cops, though. I'll say that. I think the lack of cops kind of offsets better strategies and proactive policing. But I think that's maybe a part of it. And then technology and surveillance, the proliferation of cameras and digital tracking makes it harder to commit crimes without being caught. I think that's a part. I do. That makes sense to me there. So anyway, we may not feel like crime is getting better, but the numbers say that it is. So I guess, again, two things can be true at the same time. And finally, Alpha News reports, story number three today, that a bill proposed by Democrats in St. Paul would require caretakers to affirm the, quote, gender identity of foster children. The House bill would effectively, it says in the story, prevent Christians from serving as foster parents in Minnesota. The legislation would require foster parents to affirm and support a child's, quote, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. Basically, whatever sex the kid wants to say they are, it would require as a foster parent to go along with it, to affirm it, and try to support that. The bill was authored by DFL Representative Jessica Hansen. It would create a foster youth bill of rights in Minnesota state law. The list would mandate the children in the foster care system be provided with safety, basic needs, and much more. But a major section of the bill gives foster children the right to have their sexual orientation affirmed and supported, including the right for the foster youth to express themselves in the way the foster youth decide. So again, we're going to let the 10-year-old kids tell the adults what makes sense and what reality is. So there's something for you to pray about, something maybe call your elected officials about, that we can't let the kids make the decisions for rational thinking adults. And if we're going to prevent Christians from being foster parents, then we got other problems. Steve Alschman Show back after this. The bid is up to 400 now on the driver putter PXG combo on am1100theflag.com. Still a great savings right now. You're way more than 50% off on that. It's a $1,000 value for the putter and the driver. And boy, I'm just looking at this driver on the page right now. It just looks like that thing means business. Might just hop out of your bag and whack that ball 300 yards down the middle on its own without you having to do much. So looks great. 400 is the current bid there. You've got until, well, I don't know. I guess 5 o'clock is 5 o'clock Central Time today. Those of you who are listening Mountain Time Zone, got to be aware of that. But it's a good deal, heck of a deal going on right now. AM1100theflag.com. Okay, time for best thing I heard all day, and this is, I think, interesting, particularly interesting when you get people that are normally trying to find ways to be critical of something or whose philosophy or code of thinking, whatever, goes a certain way. And even they have to admit, gosh, you know, some of the noise you're hearing about this is not really true. And isn't it funny how many things that we've been told have turned out to not be true in the end? But we've heard recently from people on the left that, well, President Trump's base is not going to put up with this war. And president said no new wars. He got elected on behalf of that. And so with Venezuela and now Iran, President Trump is losing support from his base. Well, they actually came out and said, you know, over on CNN, said, you know, that's actually not very true. Listen to the conversation as they talk about some polling that's in about the MAGA base and how strong the support is for President Trump.
The bottom line is this. If you are a member of MAGA, you approve. And when we look at the numbers, I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, you know what, when you look at those MAGA numbers, it doesn't account for those who might have left MAGA. But take a look here. Americans who identify as MAGA, in November of 2024, it was 28% of Americans. Now it's basically the same. If anything, it's slightly higher at 30%. The bottom line is this. The MAGA base within the GOP is not shrinking. It's the same size. If anything, it is slightly larger than it was back in 2024 when, of course, Donald Trump won a second term. So that 100% that Donald Trump has approval among MAGA GOP, that is not an artifact of MAGA shrinking. It's just an indication of how strong Donald Trump's grip is on that MAGA base. You know, we mentioned Iran in the intro of this segment. GOP on U.S. military action.
So now not MAGA, GOP.
It's 90% approval. It's 90% approval, just 5% disapproval. If you disapprove of the job that Donald Trump is doing, or excuse me, the U.S. military action in Iran, and you're a member of the GOP, look at this. It's your non-MAGA. You're not MAGA. It's 36% there, 54% approve. But the majority of Republicans approve of the job that the U.S. military action is in Iran, and the majority of MAGA, which is the majority of the GOP, very much approve, 90%. Very little split in Donald Trump's base. Those who disapprove in the GOP, simply put, they ain't MAGA.
It's really clear. MAGA has the floor.
MAGA has the floor.
Now, I know that there will be some people going, no, that's a psyop. Okay. First off, NBC, the polling agency used here, never favored Trump, just to be clear, in pre-election polling or both of his terms. It's pretty left biased. It's never oversampled conservatives. And then I know they say, well, that's not separating for MAGA versus non-MAGA. Well, they did in that last part. So here's the thing. But I think you can be MAGA and be against Iran. That's the difference. None of us are saying it's a disqualifier if we have disagreements. The people out there who, in most cases, weren't MAGA until very recently and then quit MAGA very quickly, they're the ones trying to tell you the state of affairs. Maybe MAGA, maybe conservatism, maybe nationalism shouldn't be defined by those who quit.
Mm. So a lot of stuff there, a couple of commentaries there after the statistics came out as well. The biggest takeaway from that whole thing to me is that those that call themselves MAGA, Make America Great Again, is actually up. So President Trump is not losing support or not losing people from the fan base. The fan base is growing. And among the people that say that they are very loyal to President Trump and his agenda, they have an overwhelming support for what's going on in Iran. And this is interesting to me because if the firestorm about Trump, if we thought it was going to go away, and I probably bought into that a little bit. I thought after the second time, with everything that's happened, I felt like the Trump derangement syndrome might die down for a bit. And maybe it did for a month or two, but it is as feverish as it has ever been. And people that are just, they're looking for anything. There's never been a public figure in our country, maybe never the world. I guess I can't think back to, you know, 1940s dictators and communist countries or whatever, but I cannot think of a time when there has been as much public opposition or as loud, not much, loud public opposition has been with Donald Trump. There's never been anything like this. And so if you had an honest media, if you had people who were willing just to call it straight, just not cheer for Donald Trump, but just say, have a balanced conversation about things and not try to find the gotcha moment every time with Donald Trump, what would his approval numbers be? How many people then would say, yes, I'm 100% behind Donald Trump? I don't know how much teeth the left really has anymore, but it doesn't help the president when you've got people that are trying to reach not only the far left and the left, but the middle, and say, you should have a problem with this because Donald Trump believes that or said this or did that. If we didn't have that going on 24/7, 365 with some of our largest news sources, what do you think things would be like? How much more support would there be for things that the president has done? I just thought that was really interesting that the base is growing, and people that are behind the president, they're not worried about what's going on in Iran. They do not have concerns yet about this. And I think that's true from those of you that I talk to, those of you that call the program. I haven't had anybody say, you know what, it's time for us to get out. President needs to get out right now. We kind of did our piece. And I don't hear much of that. I think there's a loyalty that goes along with President Trump. Certainly that's always been the case and will continue to be going forward because of what he has been through. And there are a lot of us who are saying, look, I mean, God clearly wanted him to be president again. Let's let him do what he thinks is right. Is he going to make mistakes? Absolutely. Is everything going to work out? No, of course not. But, I mean, who would do the things that Donald Trump does? We at least know the guy is doing it because he thinks it's the right thing for the country. Because these are things that are not going to light up most public opinion polls. There are not things that are going to go quietly into the night. There's going to be all kinds of Trump derangement from all the things that he does. But who would have done it? I mean, presidents, we've talked about this. For decades have said, yeah, somebody should go and do some. Donald Trump did it. And if he wouldn't have come along, nobody would have done it. Who is going to do the things that President Trump is doing now when President Trump is gone, when he's not in office anymore? Is there anybody who will do tariffs, who will do a war in Iran, who will do the DEI things, when they're not going to be popular, when they may not lead to easy re-elections? Who's going to do that because it's the right thing to do going forward? Hopefully, the next generation will. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about ag and fertilizer prices. That's next. North Dakotans are some of the hardest workers in the country, but right now the state gets paid before your family does, taking a cut of your hard-earned money before you even see it. That's why Americans for Prosperity North Dakota is fighting to eliminate the state income tax entirely. It's time to put you back in control of every dollar you earn. No more letting the government take its cut first. You deserve the freedom to prioritize your family's future, not the state's budget. Nine other states have already done this, eliminated their state income tax. You know what's happening there? They're bringing in jobs and families. That's what's happening. It's time for North Dakota to do the same. Let's make North Dakota the clear choice for families and businesses by letting you actually keep what you earn. Visit AFPND.org to learn more and join the Americans for Prosperity movement. That's AFPND.org. Hey, some breaking news here. Carson Wentz is back with the Vikings. Signed a one-year deal today. Got the crap kicked out of him last year when he was playing quarterback for the Vikings. They played him when he was injured already. And, he's a glutton for punishment, old Carson, because he's going to come back to the Vikings. And he has been signed here as of this morning. He has started a few games. He was 2-3 as a starter last year, filling in for J.J. McCarthy when McCarthy got hurt. And then Wentz got hurt. They ended up playing the third string guy. So think about this, what they've got in the Vikings quarterback room now. They have three former top 10 overall picks. Wentz, Kyler Murray was a number one overall. J.J. McCarthy was a number nine. So they've got three guys now in that room. So this is really interesting to me now because I was under the impression they really liked Max Brosmer as their number three guy. And I'm sure it's a pretty friendly deal for the Vikings. For Wentz, he probably doesn't cost a whole lot of money. But I don't think that any of those guys can be put on the practice squad with as much as they have played already. So I don't know if they're bringing all these guys in just to have enough guys for training camp and then someone's going to get cut for sure. I don't know. I don't think they're cutting McCarthy. They're certainly not cutting Kyler Murray. Could they bring Carson in just to cut him? I guess that's possible. But they've got now got four guys in that quarterback room. 33 years of age, and he got signed there today. So former number two overall pick by the Eagles there. And so the Bison legend back for another go-around with the Minnesota Vikings. Isn't that interesting? Okay. All right, so let's talk about farming for a minute here. And I saw a story that was going around the media cycles earlier today with WDAY Radio Now.com. They had a story up on fertilizer prices being high. And then I saw a social media post that I thought was really interesting. And I want to read that for you. It'll take me about a minute. It's not super long, but it's not really short here. So this comes from a commodities trader named Shanaka Pereira. And he says this: the most irreversible consequence of this war is not happening in Tehran. It's happening in a barn in Iowa. A farmer is standing over a kitchen table looking at two seed catalogs. One is corn, one is soybeans. Corn needs 180 pounds of nitrogen per acre. Nitrogen costs $600 a ton right now in the Chicago Board of Trade, up 35% in a month. And I've heard this from some of you, that prices have just shot up here recently. The post goes on to say, soybeans fix their own nitrogen from the atmosphere through root bacteria called rhizobia. They need nothing from the Strait of Hormuz. The farmer is choosing soybeans. Millions of acres are choosing soybeans. And once the planter rolls into the field, the choice cannot be reversed until next year. The USDA projected corn at roughly 94 million acres for 2026, down from 98.8. Soybeans were up about 4 million acres, up from 81.2 to 85.3. Those projections were published February 19th before urea surged past $683 at New Orleans. The actual shift will be larger. USDA prospective plantings reports March 31st. By then, the seeds will be in the ground. This is a transmission channel the world is not watching. A 21-mile strait enforced by provincial commanders with sealed radio orders just rewrote the planting economics of 90 million acres of the most productive farmland on Earth. Not through sanctions, not through diplomacy, through the price of a single molecule that corn cannot grow without and that soybeans do not need. Follow the cascade. The Renewable Fuel Standard mandates 15 billion gallons of corn ethanol annually. This consumes about 43% of the entire U.S. corn crop. The mandate is set by the EPA. It does not flex when corn acres shrink. It is inelastic demand consuming a fixed share of a declining supply. When supply tightens against a fixed mandate, the remaining corn reprices upward. Corn above $5 a bushel compresses every margin downstream. The U.S. cattle herd stands at 86.2 million head, a 75-year low per USDA. Poultry and pork operations face compression from higher corn prices. Feed is the single largest cost in livestock production. When feed reprices, protein reprices, and when protein reprices, every grocery shelf in America absorbs the increase. This is the protein cascade. Corn to feed, to meat, to eggs, to dairy, to the checkout counter, each link tightens because the link before it tightened. The originating cause is a urea molecule that cannot transit a strait because a provincial commander's sealed orders say it cannot. The farmer did not start this war. The farmer cannot end it. The farmer responds to the price on the screen and the biology of the two crops in front of him. Corn needs the molecule. Soybeans don't. At $610, the arithmetic is settled. The planter rolls. The season is locked. Israel just authorized the assassination of every Iranian official on site. The U.S. has spent $16.5 billion. South Pars is burning. The Fed is holding rates because oil inflation will not break. Gold touched 5,000. Bitcoin is bleeding. China is running exercises near Taiwan. Sri Lanka shut down on Wednesdays. And underneath all of it, a man in a barn is making the decision that determines whether 4 billion people pay more for food this year. He has never heard of the Mosaic Doctrine. He does not know what a sealed contingency packet is, but he knows what nitrogen costs. And he's planting soybeans. Now, I will have to be honest enough to tell you that other than being able to fact check the data points, which I did most of them about the USDA plant acres projection, corn needing nitrogen, nitrogen cost on Chicago Board of Trade. I was able to fact check some of that. The logic I can't, because I don't know that game well enough to get in and say, yes, he's right as these dominoes fall. But it makes sense to me with the limited knowledge of agriculture that I have. It, and it's 100% a guarantee that when you make choices like that, where you don't need this nutrient to produce soybeans but need it for corn, yes. I mean, who's not going to try to make decisions that could lower their inputs on something where the margin may be about the same with both of them, ordinarily speaking? So why not? Why not make that change? And then what does that mean to, you know, the crush plants, the ethanol plants? What does that mean to feedstock for cattle and hogs and all of those things? So I'm trying to, you know, figure out how to buy a steak without going to the bank and taking out a loan before I go to the grocery store. Does not look like any of that is going to get any easier going forward. So I'd be curious if you've got any feedback to give on that. It's really true that we're talking about a 20-mile stretch of water in the Middle East, and all that could be affecting what we're going to pay for tenderloin for Christmas here in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota as well. It's a biological pivot, but it's also an economic pivot. And it probably means we're locking in higher food prices for the next 18 months. Remember, we spent yesterday talking a fair amount about the producer price index. And I told you that this is not the most consequential inflation number that we get, because a lot of things can happen from the wholesale level to the shelf and what you and I pay. But here is another pressure point. Domestic inflation, oil prices in the Gulf, and what if we can't get if we can't get corn, as much corn on the market, prices going up there, even the soybeans are more plentiful. Like, all of these things are creating kind of a wave or sort of a surge in inflationary content that is going to be around for a while. We got midterms coming up here in, what, 8 months? Not even? And the president is going to have to find some kind of trick up his sleeve here to get something to counter some of these things that are going on here over the next few months. And I think it's turning out to be a bigger job than maybe most observers would have thought. My guess is that none of this is a surprise to the president. His advisor, he's got a great team there, and I'm sure that they're advising him, you know, sir, like he always does in his impressions, right? Sir, we got a problem here. All these things are going up, and here's another one as well. And we have a nitrogen hog like corn is. You got to put something on there. Urea, anhydrous ammonia. I know a lot of guys put that on at different times of the year. But when you got a self-sufficient crop like soybeans, and corn's very different, yeah, you got to take a look at doing that as well. So we think of the war as something that's happening over there. But these decisions, like the guy in the social media post, these decisions are being made at kitchen tables and at the banker's office and in the barn. And the result is a soybean influx. We'll have more of that, but it might make our grocery bill go higher because we don't have the corn products available in the pipeline, or the price is going to be up on those things as well. So I just thought all that was really interesting, and I wanted to pass it along to you. Speaking of things you want to know about, we got the lunch specials here for PetroServe USA today. Valley City French Dip Sandwich, Harwood Mac and Beef, West Main Avenue Tater Tot Hot Dish or Salisbury Steak, 205 NP Pulled Pork Sandwich, 12th Avenue Salisbury Steak, Taco Mac at 45th Street. In Castleton, they got the lasagna there today. In Glendon, spicy cheese sausage macaroni, and Iwapanen, Mac, and beef. Just sounds good on a day like today. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. All right, when we come back, The Five remains the king of cable news conversation. The court jester is apparently CNN. Plus, a pick on the Bison basketball game today. DriveWithVision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton. You're seeing a lot of Lincolns around Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. There's a good reason for that. They have completely reshaped what it means to buy and service a vehicle. They make it easy. Everything's electronic. Everything is quick. No more taking a whole afternoon to get the paperwork done for that car. You're out the door in a hurry. They got a mobile oil change crew that'll come to your business and change the oil in your car while you're working inside. How great is that? And if you do need to get the car down to the shop for some reason or another, they've got 18 service drivers running vehicles back and forth on I-29 to get them down there. Bring your car back to you when it's done. DriveWithVision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. A great place to work, too. If you're looking for a career in service, DriveWithVision.com. They pay great. Full benefits, no weekends. That sounds all right, huh? Check them out at drivewithvision.com. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio here today. All right, cable news rankings. Nielsen posts this on a fairly regular basis, and I saw this online earlier today, that the top 15 cable news programs on the air yesterday were all programs from Fox News Channel, the top 15. You got to go down to The Last Word. I think that's Lawrence O'Donnell on MS Now, which is what used to be MSNBC, at 9 o'clock to find another program in the top 20. The first one is there. And then Fox News at Night with Trace Gallagher, which is on at 10 o'clock, comes in 17. Then you've got a couple of the late afternoon, early evening programs on MS Now. Also in the top 25 for Fox News Channel are Fox and Friends 7 a.m. hour, Fox and Friends 6 a.m. hour, and The 5 replay at midnight. The top five programs, again, all Fox News Channel programs, The 5, Gutfeld, Jesse Waters Primetime, Special Report, and The Ingram Angle. Interesting that Laura Ingram is out drawing Hannity these days. Maybe it's the time. She's on, I think, at 6, and he's on at 8 our time. Some might have something to do with it, but The 5 is the undisputed heavyweight champion, and that's got 3.7 million viewers. Number 2, Gutfeld, the Greg Gutfeld. I guess it's good to be Gutfeld these days, huh? At a little over 3 million in the 9 o'clock hour there. Interesting that The 5 replay at midnight. So the replay of The 5, if that was the only Fox News Channel program there, it would rank 7th behind 6 programs from MS Now. So The 5 replay beats every program on CNN. Say that again. The 5 replay at midnight beats every program on CNN. And CNN's got a ton of programs all day long, but they're not rating very well. I thought that was really interesting. Thought you'd want to know that. Hey, did you know there's a realtor in Fargo, speaking of things you might not have known, who charges less commission and ranks in the top 1% for homes sold? Yeah, I was surprised too when I heard that. Dan Perrine at James Patrick Real Estate is a guy you got to know. He has years of experience selling people's biggest assets, their home. He's got a ton of market knowledge, expert pricing, tough negotiations, smooth, clean closings. No gimmicks, no catches, just top-tier results and real savings. Ready for more money in your pocket? Call Dan today, 701-540-3747, or visit jamespatrickrealestate.com, jamespatrickrealestate.com. All right, today the big dance kicks off here in about 20 minutes. We'll start firing up some games here. And I thought I'd take a minute to give you a pick and a little bit of rationale here about NDSU basketball. Do they have a shot to beat Michigan State today? Oh, of course they do. Right? There's always a chance. The chance is not zero. It'll be tough. They're a 16.5-point underdog. And Michigan State is in the top 15 nationally on the defensive end of the floor. They have phenomenal athletes that can suffocate you on the perimeter, force you to put up contested shots. They just make it really difficult. NDSU will have some trouble scoring today if they cannot make the outside shots. Michigan State leads the Big Ten in fast break points. If you turn it over, they're going to be at the rim before you can blink. They've got really good guard play, and in the tournament, you have to have good guards. Now, they're not all that experienced, a sophomore and a junior there, but they've got guys that have been through some pretty big games there as well. You can get them on the glass a little bit. They do allow some offensive rebounding, and they do allow a lot of three-point shot attempts. And NDSU can shoot. They've got five guys that average double figures in league play. They are a true team. It is a balanced team. You can't just stop one guy there, and they shoot 37% from behind the arc. And they make nearly 10 threes a game. This is their equalizer, and they take care of the ball. 31st in the country in turnover margin. They don't beat themselves. Now, Michigan State is going to have some size and athletic ability that's going to make it really tough. NDSU does have guys that can fake the three, put it on the floor, and get to the basket. NDSU did not have a great schedule. They have not necessarily been toughened up by a great strength of schedule. And going from the Summit League to playing a Big Ten team that some people are picking to be a Final Four team is going to be absolutely tough. No question about it. For NDSU, Damari Wheeler-Thomas, the junior guard, averaging about 14 points a game. Trayson Anderson, the sophomore forward, at 10.5 points a game, and Noah Feddersen, the junior forward, 9.4 points a game. Our guys are going to have to play well for NDSU here today. My pick, I've got the Bison covering the 16.5, but I think Michigan State wins it 74-66, so maybe about a 10-point game or so. We'll see. Go Bison. Have a great day, my friend. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the show. Scotty's next. Keep on flying that flag.